Mean to so hot right now. You better not use me saying that.
Amazing babes
on 2SER 107.3.
Good morning and welcome to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of all things arts and culture. Before we get started, I'd like to acknowledge the Gadigal people of the who are the traditional custodians of this land. I would also like to pay respect to elders both past and present of the Eora Nation. So as usual, I've got a completely loaded show for you today. I'm not going to tell you what's happening because I'm not really sure if I have enough time, but you can trust that there's a huge range of events that we're talking about that are happening all around Sydney. But I'm going to kick off with talking about an event that's happening tomorrow from a small collective, Sitting Pretty. I'm very excited to talk to two of the people behind the project, Eddie Diamond and Casey Sewell. But to get you there, I'm going to play this track, Midnight in Baja, from Adriana Evans. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
Explore your city? What's On .Sydney has got you covered. Discover what's happening near you. From music to markets, food to festivals, art to artifacts, there's something for everyone. City of Sydney sponsors 2SER 107.3.
Hello and welcome back to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. You're with me, Nicole Beck, and I'm here to bring you all the small little things happening around Sydney. So I'm starting with Collective Sitting Pretty, who are presenting their latest event, Soundgarden. So this party invites audiences to a pretty lush inner city rooftop for one special community-oriented night. Presenting a lineup of local culture and food, Soundgarden is not your usual music-focused event. So I'm joined by Eddie Diamond and Casey Swell, who are a part of Sitting Pretty, the collective behind the event. Good morning.
Morning.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, real good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Eddie accidentally called me this morning from the cafe and was discussing what coffee to get.
It's important at this hour.
Yeah, especially on a Saturday. Thanks for coming in during primetime brunch.
No, thanks hour. For having us.
No problem. So, Sitting Pretty, you've put on events before. I've been to them, particularly back in the unicorn days. And so they've, for the way that I've seen, it's always been pretty like music focused. So is doing something like Soundgarden, which is branching out to different facets of culture, something that you've always wanted to do?
I think it's also the idea of space. And when you're in a pub, you're quite limited by the space and what you can do with said space. And I think by branching out to 107 in particular has been really special because they are a really nice spot. They're community orientated. They support what we're doing. And they're letting us do a whole bunch of other things in there.
How has your collaboration been with them? Have you been heavily involved with 107?
They've been super supportive. If you're thinking about doing anything, definitely hit up 107. The rooftop garden is such a treat, isn't it, Casey?
It's so lush. I saw it the first time like 6 months ago. I was doing a little workshop there because they hold a lot of – they collaborate with Music New South Wales and they do a lot of workshops and events, which is amazing. And I went up and saw the garden. I was like, what? Why do they never have stuff here?
It's like a hidden gem,
yeah.
I feel.
And so I guess that's like the beautiful bit of it is that we get to really – do what we want with it and see, like, test the limits of how many things we can incorporate and what that's going to look like and how it's going to feel, which is, like, super exciting.
Yeah, so can you talk me through your – I've read the music lineup as well as the visual art lineup. Can you tell our viewer, the audiences a little bit more about that?
So the lineup is super fun. Casey's actually going to be playing as well, which is really cool.
I will.
Yes. And there's just a bunch. Have you read that, the lineup?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cool. Well, I won't do that again. Everyone, Sydney, is from Sydney. That's the main focus of what we're doing. We really want to highlight what's happening in this city because there is so much going on. And the event's taking place in Redfern, Waterloo. So one of our goals for Sitting Pretty is to engage with community, especially looking forward. And we want to do that in a non-tokenistic way. So we've invited the Waterloo Community Garden along, who we've had contact with prior. And we brought them there to talk to the guests that are at Soundgarden, and they will be there with plants for donation for their community garden. But also we're hoping to bridge these two communities together, and there can be discussion about what is happening in Waterloo with the redevelopment of the housing estate there, because we feel like our audience cares about that. But sometimes you just don't know how to get engaged and what to do.
So you mentioned that you're a community-focused kind of organization. Do you think that this focus on community is something that is perhaps lacking in Sydney's arts and culture, or are you also just trying to get involved with engaging with communities?
I think that it is always something that can be furthered. I wouldn't say that it's lacking, but I would say that in every aspect of music or art shows or any kind of community events that are going on, there can always be more, and there can always be more education and information being given. And I think that maybe at the moment it could be a little lacking because there is a lot of focus on live music and music times and lockout times and where people are going to go and entrance like capacity and stuff that maybe is taking a little of the space for caring about community stuff away.
I think that people do realize, but maybe more people should realize, that a lot of these issues are intertwined, and they all play a part in making Sydney a vibrant place. Housing is intertwined with venues, with public spaces, and they're all linked back together.
Yeah, and I think it's very easy to forget that the kind of right that we have to dance and like have art is a privilege, right? And it's important to recognise the larger picture at play in Sydney.
Exactly. And I think it's nice to incorporate these things. They don't have to be separate. the residents from the public housing from the Waterloo Community Garden are excited to come along and to not have like a doom and gloom community meeting, because they can be so straining and dull and sad. So it's nice to have those things intertwined with some music and a gathering in a positive way, and to not just to say we're still here and we're still having a good time, and it isn't just sadness.
Yeah, because it can empower them, bring empowerment and make
start
people
conversation.
Feel yeah included.
So looking at the visual lineup, I'm particularly interested in, as you mentioned, space is quite a big element for Soundgarden. How have the works in particular kind of interacted with the space that you have?
Well, we have a beautiful, lush garden. Like when you go out, there's chairs and tables, but the whole like back wall is just filled with big ferns, a variety of different plants. So we've obviously been like, yes, let's use this. So Harley English is going to be showing his ceramic work. So that's going to be kind of placed throughout the garden. And then Trolley Bride, who's making kind of flat lay, like little, how would you describe, like little monsters?
Little pop-up, little cutout. Yeah, little cutout monsters.
So that's going to be in the garden as well. So we're really just trying to include it in the space and highlight the beauty of the garden, because
yeah, it's so gorgeous. Yeah. And also Presley Joy Padgett is going to be inside with a huge mural that she's lugged all the way back from Chicago.
Wow. Awesome. That sounds great. There's also live painting, I read. Is that true?
That's Presley as well.
Oh, okay. Wow.
That's all Presley. She's going to be, yeah, she's going to be whizzing around.
She's incredible.
So, yeah, Presley is also the artist behind our logo, the face logo, that is. Yeah.
So Soundgarden is happening tomorrow at 107 at 4 p.m, correct?
That's it.
And there's limited tickets, right?
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
It's an intimate party.
Yeah, it's super, it's like a very small capacity upstairs, but I feel like people will be coming and going. Yeah. Maybe hit us up.
Yeah.
Hit us up and yeah, ask how it's going.
You can just, we have a Facebook page for Sittin' Pretty, so just send a message to there. We'll be like online all day. And
awesome. And we'll put all the relevant details up with this podcast on our show page if you search for So Hot Right Now on 2SER.com. And we'll make sure we put the ticket link up there so you can be one of the lucky ones to attend.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
No worries. Good
Thank
luck with
so
everything
much.
Tomorrow. No problem.
Bye.
That there was Eddie and Casey from Sittin' Pretty talking about Soundgarden, which is happening tomorrow. So as I said, just search for us online if you want to get involved and check it all out. I'm going to push on with a little bit more music. This one is Bad Bad Not Good with In Your Eyes. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
you in ties from the meeting. And I know you're willing and able. And I know you've got someone, but I'm ready. So just rid yourself of him and come get
to be in your career? Postgraduate study at UTS combines your skills and our industry connections to give you the head start you're looking for. Flexible study options, part-time courses, and centrally located for convenient access after work. Register for the UTS Postgrad Expo on Thursday, April 4th to chat about your options. pgexpo.uts.edu.au. UTS sponsors 2SER 107.3.
Hello and welcome back to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. If you missed my last chat, I was speaking to Eddie and Casey, who are both a part of the Sitting Pretty Collective, and they are presenting a wonderful event happening in Redfern tomorrow called Soundgarden. And as I said, we'll put all the details up to that online if you'd like to check it out. But right now I'm pushing on with my next little bit of wonderful content happening in Sydney. So I want you to imagine a large open space with a long table extending from one side of the room to the other. What image comes up? Is it the Last Supper or maybe an all-you-can-eat buffet? Well, Penrith's Joan Q Theatre might not spring to mind, but they're dishing up something completely different. So kicking off the autumn season, the Joan Q Theatre will be housing three artists each month and will be using a long table as a centrepiece for a series of workshops, programs and activities. So I'm lucky enough to be joined by the curator of the April program, Von Patiage, and he is here to tell us a little bit more about what he's got in store for us. Good morning, Von. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So the program lasts for 3 months and you are the event coordinator of April, as I said. What are you kind of getting at with April? What can we expect from your edition?
Yeah, so April is centered around Kalb community in Western Sydney, which is culturally and linguistically diverse peoples. So all my events are really centered around, I guess, like gatherings for the community. There's a really big range of, well, there's four events, and they're ranging on different things. So the first one we have is a podcast workshop with Sheila Fan, who's a freelance radio producer. And that's really centered on, you know, providing artists like a skill sharing event where they have an opportunity to learn like audio storytelling techniques. So we're open to for artists to come in who are kind of working in the memoir space. Because in terms of Kalb community, oftentimes memoirs are passed down verbally. So we thought that was catered to that. We also have a play reading from a Western Sydney playwright, Miranda Aguilar. So her new play, Let Me Know When You Get Home, has been in development for a few years with Q Theatre and Curious Works. And it's a new play about a sort of queer ethnic intersectional coming out story set in Western Sydney. And there'll be like a little play reading around that. We also have a cultural facilitation dinner where we're inviting a host of CALD artists from Western Sydney to sort of come together and discuss artistic and business practices, where they can maybe talk about what sort of developments they've made in their own business sense to ensure their creativity is sustainable, which is one of the big questions that a lot of Western Sydney artists, I feel, have. And then, of course, the last event is just a big party with musicians and choirs and a lot of food. So please do come along.
That was
program.
A very comprehensive wrap-up of your month.
Oh, thank you.
That's all right. So I'm going to get stuck into a couple of the events and unpack them a little bit further. So I'm particularly interested in the audio podcast workshop, obviously because I work in radio. But yeah. I think it's quite interesting to have a podcasting workshop. I feel like it's a medium that's obviously becoming increasingly popular. Can you just talk me through your decision a little bit there and how it might connect back to your curatorial themes?
Yes. Well, I've met a lot of memoir artists who are sort of working in Western Sydney who are particularly invested in writing their parents' stories. So a lot of migrant stories, a lot of refugee stories, but these are diasporic writers who are trying to, I guess, track their own history. And there's that level of that dissonance where they don't really understand their homeland. They only see it through their parents' eyes. And one thing that's always popped up with these writers is that their parents share their history verbally. It's always verbally. And I've just been thinking, like, well, we should continue that tradition of oral storytelling and maybe learning, you know, skill sharing these skills of, like, recording audio and developing audio storytelling techniques and developing a podcast is a way to sort of continue that oral legacy that CALD art, that CALD community kind of has in terms of their storytelling. So that's kind of the thinking.
Yeah, I think it's a very kind of a natural flow on from the traditions that already exist. Interestingly, yeah. you've spoken about intergenerational storytelling. Do you think that your event, or ideally, would you like to attract an intergenerational crowd, or what would you like from your audiences?
Perhaps? Oh yes, I mean the gatherings are all sort of aimed at anyone and everyone, really. So I mean, I know the play reading, it's a queer ethnic intersectional story. It's probably skewed more to the younger a younger audience. But definitely, like, the actual cultural facilitation dinner and the gathering. For the actual party, we're actually, fingers crossed, we'll get them. But we've actually booked the Sydney Sonata Singers, who is a group of, it's a choir made up completely of Filipino senior retirees who are kind of active in the area. So, we're actually expecting a really big turnout of I guess, more senior senior fans.
100%. So the play reading. So the play is called Let Me Know When You Get Home. Can you just tell us a little bit about that play and where it's come from and why you've chosen to incorporate it into your workshops?
Yes. That one's developed. That was written by Miranda Aguilar, who's a Western Sydney playwright. She's based in Quakers Hill. And I think it's just what really drew me to that play. So she... sitting in on a few developments, I guess, was the relationship between Western Sydney and the city, especially in terms of a queer identity and being a diasporic identity in Western Sydney. Oftentimes you see sort of Sydney, CBD, like the, you know, inner west sort of area, as like the bastion of culture. And I was really drawn to the story because it is about a young teenager named Val who's kind of coming into these identity idea. She realizes that she is queer and she feels very disconnected from her home, which is Fairfield, because she feels like her community isn't in the area. And she sort of, I guess, learns that, you know, community is what you make of it and home is where you are. I've always been fascinated by that. I guess growing up in Sydney, going to uni, catching the train for hours at a time, there was always this relationship with the West and Sydney. And I'm really glad that we're able to host a a play reading in Penrith, in Western Sydney, you know, in the heart of Western Sydney, where I guess the play can be sort of read to people who actually maybe go through that experience as well.
Yeah, so a central theme for your general curation of Q-Table is this idea of diaspora and how that interacts with a Western Sydney audience, different a variety of groups and communities. So what kind of impact are you hoping what you've put together has on people with these kinds of experiences?
I guess it centers around the third event, which is the Cultural Facilitation Dinner. And that's, I guess, the heart of my program, which is all about sustainability. So I think, I work as a filmmaker and a writer director across stage and screen. And it's always been the biggest question for me in terms of my practice, like how I can just keep going. What are the funding models? How are they supporting artists out in Western Sydney? And also just like the actual infrastructure that surrounds artists culturally as well. So understanding that a lot of diasporic artists and a lot of Cal artists do have different lifestyles just because they come from different communities. And it's kind of looking at the structures that are in place in Sydney and Australia and I guess art structures, and seeing how they can sort of be malleable to kind of promote more sustainable practice for all artists. So I'm really looking forward to that, I guess, that event, because we are inviting, I guess, artists of all scopes, but also public to be able to come. But just to see, which artists are out there right now who are kind of building these sustainable practices, and if that involves like business development on their side, or if that involves like community awareness or support. I'm really just interested in, I guess, creating more work in Western Sydney. And I think the biggest thing for me for the program is to actually keep a lot of that creativity in Western Sydney. I guess there's always this myth that it's better somewhere else, but it's happening right now. So
there is always so much happening in Western Sydney, and
yes,
no one should ever turn a blind eye towards the amazing things
exactly.
happening in like a huge amount of space as well. Like,
I am massive.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Vaughn. I hope that April goes really well for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. So that we've just been talking about the Joan Q Theatre, who are running the Long Table for 3 months. And that was Vaughn there talking about the April program, which begins next week. So if you head to the qtheatre.com.au to find out more, you can buy tickets to any of those workshops that we discussed. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of art and culture. It is almost 11:30. So that means I've got about two more interviews left on your Saturday morning. I'm going to push on with a little bit more music. This is one from Tops, one of my favorites, Way to Be Loved. This is 2SER.
So baby,
welcome back to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. It is now 11:37 on your Saturday morning, and that means I'll be with you for just over 20 minutes, bringing you the latest things in Sydney, all art and culture. Right now, I am talking about theatre because it has been a bit of a while since we jumped into a bit of theatre. So a Filipino musical theatre show about love and national history is opening at Riverside Parramatta tonight. So if it's time to brush up on your Filipino history, everyone. So Noli Mi Ten Tere is a famous novel by Dr. Jose Rizal, written during the time of Spanish occupation in the Philippines. It's about a man that returns to his homeland after years of studying abroad to write a book about all the atrocities happening to the Philippines during the time of Spanish colonization. So instead of fighting this injustice with violence, he hopes to succeed with reason. And what would a Filipino musical be without a love story? So it has been turned into a musical theatre show, and we've got the lead actress here on the line today. Her name is Susanna Downs, and she's going to tell us a little bit more about what we can expect. Good morning, Susanna.
Good morning.
Lovely to have you. Thanks for joining us.
No, thank you so much for having me.
So can you just tell us a little bit about what is happening in the story of Noli Tan Tere? Just a brief little snapshot.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I feel like you described it way better than
okay.
I did. But yeah, it's about a young man who comes back home after traveling through Europe, back home to the Philippines, I should say, after learning so many different things about different cultures and coming back and realizing that home isn't as like nice and as beautiful as he thought it was when he was younger, and learning about all of these different people in his life and how they're all different, and coming back to the woman that he made a vow that he would marry her when they were older, i.e. me, and reconnecting with each other after being away from each other for 7 years. And yeah, that reconnection and how things change after time and who people become when they're older, and also their love for their homeland. And yeah, that story.
Can you tell us a little bit about your character?
So my character, Maria Clara, is kind of a national treasure in the Philippines now. She is a young woman born into a relatively like well-off family. She lives with her father, who is a captain, and she lost her mother at childbirth, so she didn't get to know who her mum was. But she grew up in a loving family with, yeah, her father, her auntie, that also helped raise her. But she was more brought up with the church. And so she's very holy, very spiritual in the Catholic faith. And but not only is she like the quintessential like feminine woman of the 19th century, but she's super strong. And she stands up for what she believes in. And she fights for those that she loves. And it's so great to play someone who I kind of relate to in that sense.
Yeah, it sounds like an incredible story.
It really is.
So you live in Australia, obviously, and you're a Filipino-Australian.
Yes, so my mum is from the Philippines and my dad is Australian.
Great. So growing up, was this ever, like, could you ever see anything like this in your time?
No.
Living? Yeah.
I had no idea that this story even existed, because this is a, like, Noli Mitanghere is kind of one of those novels that all kids study in school, like what we kind of do with like The Giver or other different novels
To Kill a Mockingbird.
We study and like learn about in English. That's what like Filipino kids learn and study about. Like they do plays about the book and they do all these different projects. But I had never been introduced to it until three years ago when a family friend wanted me to get in touch with the writers of the show because they were doing workshops for it in 2016. And so I've been involved in this musical for the last 3 years and getting to explore the story more. And it brings me more of a love for the Philippines. Like I've been back so many times, but it's that different history. Because like I know the history of Australia. I grew up studying it at school, but I didn't get to learn the history of the Philippines because it's not something that we get to learn or it's not common knowledge in Australia. So it's given me that kind of history lesson and a sense of respect for the country and what we had to go through when the Spanish colonized the Philippines.
Yeah, 100%. So speaking, following on from your personal experience with the effects of this, learning about this story in this musical, what do you think this story can provide for Australian audiences? Why is it important to present this work in Sydney?
I think it's important, especially in the theatre world, like the Filipino way of life isn't really seen in shows. Like we have for Asian actors in musical theatre, like we have a very, very small selection of shows that we can all be in. Like we've got Miss Saigon, we've got, if you're in opera, you've got Madame Butterfly, sometimes Sara Lee Modern Millie, there's a handful of characters that we can play. Like for shows that are specific to Asian actors, there's not a lot. And so getting to write something for a Filipino actor to play their own ethnicity and their own heritage is so important. And it's been so great to, like, when we sing about certain things in the show, I'm like, oh, I totally relate to that because we've, like, my family eat that, or we sing about that, we talk about that. And it's bringing those Filipino Australians in and showing them that we're, like, you can be so passionate about your culture even though you're mixed, or even though you were born here but your family is born there. Like it's super important, but it's also important to those that don't really know the history of the Philippines and you just think, oh, Filipinos, they're the people that eat lots of rice and can sing really well. It's like, well, there's this whole other story that comes with the country and comes with the culture of people, and it's really cool that we get to share that with everyone in Sydney.
Well, yeah, it sounds like an incredible production. Thank you so much for joining us, especially the day of opening night, which I'm sure is quite stressful.
No problem.
Well, good luck with the show and have a wonderful show tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
No problem.
So that was Susanna Downs, and she is a lead actress in Noli Mi Tanghere, which she's playing Maria Clara. The show is opening tonight and is only showing at the Riverside Theatres until the 6th of April. And it should be an amazing production, so I highly recommend you check that out. And if you want to find tickets or any more information, we'll put all the details up on our show page if you look for So Hot Right Now on 2SCR.com. Right now, I'm going to play a little bit more music for you and I'll be back with our last story. This is one from Nick Hakim. This is Needy Bees. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
Swallow me. Swallow me. Open up. Let me inside. What you love.
In Australia, our understanding of what a Chinese person is, what an Asian person is very, very much limited.
I don't like people who say we're reliant on China or China is reliant on Australia. More.
The Middle returns for another season of debate and discussion of Australia-China relations, covering everything from national cybersecurity to the tea and wine trade. Tune in Wednesday nights at 6:30 for weekly insights into Australia's relationship with the world's newest superpower, and catch up on the podcast at themiddleau.com.
You are tuned into So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. That track there was from Nick Hakim out of the States with Needy Bees off his LP Green Twins, which is an incredible album. You should check it out for sure. Anything on the playlist that I played today will be up on our show page, so if you miss anything, you can find it there. So soon to take over the Griffin Theatre in King's Cross for 3 weeks in April will be the 2019 Batch Festival, which is Sydney's epic left-field spectacular of innovative storytelling, comedy and theatre. So I'm joined by the co-creator and Griffin Artistic Associate Phil Spencer, who will tell us a little bit more about the lineup that's just been announced for the 2019 Batch Festival. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you.
So let's get straight into it. We've only got a little bit of time. So Batch Festival is all about pushing boundaries, smashing stereotypes and performances that are outside the usual pigeonholes of arts. So in a few words, what can we expect from this Batch Festival? What sets it apart from past years?
Well, I suppose what you're not going to find at Batch is a well-made play with a beginning, a middle and an end. What you are going to find is a collection of about a dozen really interesting contemporary theatre makers who, I suppose, are coming at theatre from a whole bunch of different genres, including spoken word, autobiographical performance work, queer performance makers, drag artists. We've got a choir in there this year. We've also got people drawing on sort of their own cultural heritage. So we've got a really eclectic array of sort of ways to tell stories, including kind of Arab storytelling, and there's a Yugoslavian writer-performer, and like it's a real kind of melting pot, which in some respects sounds quite innovative and exciting, but it's also just the city that we live in Sydney, and it's just every time you get on the train, like you're filled with a carriage full of people who are from all sorts of different walks of life. But theatre sometimes, as we all know, can feel a bit like dead white men, and so there aren't any dead white men in this festival, we promise.
Wonderful. I'm very much over that.
Yeah.
So, as you mentioned, it's kind of culturally distinct to Sydney. In what ways do you see Sydney through Batch Festival? Like, are there any uniquely Sydneyan things?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, to be honest, the most exciting thing about running the festival is that we curate it through submission. So it really is, we see our roles as the creators of the festival rather than sort of like us dictating what story should go on the stage. We really are responding to what the artists who live and work in Sydney and some other places as well want to, you know, what conversations they want to have with the audiences. But there's some very uniquely Sydney elements to this edition of the festival. We've got a beautiful project called Never Let Me Go by Adriano Cappelletta, which is set right in the heart of sort of King's Cross and Potts Point and Surry Hills, which is all about the AIDS epidemic in the 80s. And Ado's been working with a lot of people to gather lots and lots of stories, true accounts. And he's also then kind of, the way he's going to make the show, though, is he's got together a choir who are going to sing 80s pop songs. So it's going to be a sort of a celebration of a very dark time in our kind of recent history. And hopefully that's going to be quite a kind of sort of powerful and cathartic experience for our audience. And certainly, we're certainly excited about trying to squeeze a choir into our little venue in the Griffin as well.
Yeah, that sounds rather interesting. So there are a lot of people on the lineup that are familiar names, such as Cassie Workman or Omar Musa. Those two in particular are kind of, they center around storytelling. And I was interested in what, like, in how you view storytelling in the political climate at the moment in Sydney and what role it has to play on a program like
Batches. Yeah, totally. Well, Cassie and Omar were our headline acts for last year, so we're building on that this year. They're not part of this year's festival. But this year, in terms of what political voices, I think the thing that is most exciting to me about theatre after all these years is that it is still the most radical political art form, because there's no rules. You can get on a stage and say what you like and you will find an audience. So we've got a beautiful poet coming up from Melbourne called Wani, who's got a great show called Tales of an Afronaut. And essentially it's a kind of love letter to what it means to be, you know, a person of colour living in Australia today. And, you know, he sort of deftly weaves some real adroit political commentary, but it's all delivered with this kind of searing poetic voice. And I think that what's great about theatre is when you can marry your politics with your ambitions artistically. So, we've got a few. We're going to ask some tough questions, and there's another great show called Never Trust a Creative City, which really asks, you know, what does it mean to be an artist who, in some ways, is contributing to the gentrification of this city? And it's done slightly tongue in cheek, but it asks big questions about who we are and what our role in community and society building actually is as artists. So, there's lots of curly, chewy things to sort of mull over when you come and see some of these shows.
Following on from that idea of gentrification, the festival takes place in King's Cross. So how do you find the lineup kind of interacts with the complex history of that area of Sydney?
Yeah, look, King's Cross has changed. I mean, I've been in Australia 10 years and I'm working a lot out of King's Cross and venues in that area. And yeah, we all know there's a kind of there's a travesty about what's happened in the suburb in the last sort of 4 or 5 years. In some respects, what we're trying to do at Griffin is keep culture of like late night activity, people coming to get together to, you know, have beers and have big discussions and see shows. And that's not just about showbiz. That's about that is about strengthening community and really trying to ensure that the city that we live in and that we are custodians of continues to be vibrant after 7 p.m. at night. And so in some respects, Batch Festival at its core is just that. Like, we program 3 shows a night, sometimes more, and we just, you know, we keep the doors open. We keep asking people to come and be in King's Cross and that area at night. And, you know, that's a really important, there's a cultural history there and a lineage that we're really proud to sort of try and keep alive, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a wonderful celebration of all things weird and interesting in Sydney.
Yeah, totally.
One of my favourites is Betty Grumble, who I've seen before at in Redfern. What's that?
Betty Grumble is like, change your life.
Yeah, 100% change my life.
You know, there are certain kind of performance makers you come across who, you know, you meet writers, you meet performers, you meet actors, you meet comedians, and people can be good, but people like Betty Grumble are once in a generation. Like, Betty is a shaman. Like, she is a true artist in that sense, who is funny and self-deprecating, but she is political and she is confrontational, and it is the exact show to take your parents to go and see, because they will not think about the world in the same way.
No way.
The celebration that is Betty Grumble's political acts. But I mean, you know, some of that stuff, when you say it, can sound a bit kind of theoretical or kind of like it might be a kind of a considered night in the theatre, but really for us Batch is there's lots of warmth in this program. There's lots of comedy. There's lots of sort of interactive performance work. There's lots of reasons why, if you don't normally go to the theatre, you should come check some things out and see if it's your cup of tea.
100%. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning, Phil.
No worries.
So I've just been talking with Phil, the co-curator of Batch Festival in Sydney. It kicks off on the 11th of April and continues through to the 28th. There's evidently a huge range of things you can see, stuff like Betty Grumble, which will definitely alter your perspective on the world. I highly recommend you go check it out. That is just about all that I have time for. So thank you so much for joining me for this hour of like completely loaded with arts and culture. So I encourage everyone this weekend and throughout the week to get out and do something cultural, see some art, go to some shows. And if you need any help on how to do that, we've got our show page online, which gives you a huge rundown of the week. I'd like to thank both of my producers, Amy and Amelia. And everyone have a wonderful weekend. You've been listening to So Hot Right Now. I'm going to finish with my favourite song from Kate Bush. This is Hounds of Love.
It's in the trees. It's coming.
When I was a child, running